For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives.
Hello again, it's Eugene Driscoll of ValleyIndie.org. Welcome to the latest episode of Naval Gazing, the Valley Indie podcast, COVID-19 edition. Today, my guest is Sharon Klosius, the president and CEO of the Valley Community Foundation. I know a lot of people, including myself, are feeling helpless at the moment. We've got frontline workers, including nurses, EMS, police officers, fire department, grocery store workers, people who are working in some type of retail. They're on the front lines of this thing. What can we do to help if you're not out there? One thing you can do is donate money to the Valley Community COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund. That is a new fund that was set up recently by the Valley Community Foundation, Valley United Way, Greater Valley Chamber of Commerce, and the Valley Health and Human Services Council. They're collecting money. That money is going to be given to organizations in need, including small businesses, going forward. We're all dealing with the economic stranglehold that is the COVID-19 pandemic. So if you want to donate to that fund, I donated money. I can personally vouch for this fund. Go to valleyfoundation.org. Again, that's valleyfoundation.org. Also, as I record this episode, it is Census Day. Have you filled out your census? Do so, because we're going to need that federal dollars, and that's how we get it. Part of the formula is data from the census. So please take a few minutes today to fill out your census. I did so. Census, not senses, sorry. But I did so last night. You want to fill out your census? You're stuck at home. You're sick of listening to me ramble on. Go to 2020census.gov. You can also call a phone number, 844-330-2020. Again, it's 844-330-2020. So without further ado, we touch upon both of these subjects. Here is Sharon Klosius of the Valley Community Foundation. Thank you. All right, joining me on the line is Sharon Klosius, the president and CEO of the Valley Community Foundation. And for the next few minutes, Sharon and I are going to talk about the COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund. Sharon, welcome back to Naval Gazing.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here, Eugene.
And I mean, I wish it was under better circumstances, because we are in the middle of a pandemic that's not only making people sick, has the whole society on edge, it also has a stranglehold on the local economy. And I mean, the unemployment claims are skyrocketing in the state and across the nation. We've had at least two restaurants in the valley that I know of that have shut down in Derby and Ansonia as a direct result, at least temporarily, of COVID-19. So one thing that's happening, your organization and a few others, a few weeks back now, had the wherewithal and vision to say, let's set up a fund. People are most likely going to need help. Here's a way they can get help. So what is this fund and who is involved?
Great question. So it's the Valley Community COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund. And the reason that we decided to do this, we spoke with other partners such as the United Way, the Valley United Way, the Chamber, the Valley Chamber, and of course, the Valley Health and Human Service Council, which is a membership organization of all of our health and human service nonprofits. when you have a when you have an emergency or disaster that happens, everybody wants to do something. They want to help. But they're saying, if I have $50, what can that do? If I have $10, what can that do? Somebody might say, I've got $25,000, but I don't know exactly what's the best way to deploy that. So that's why many times either the Community Foundation or the United Way will put together these collective funds. So all of those assets can go into one fund, and then you'll have a distribution, basically a distribution committee in a sense, weighing what is the best use of those funds to go out the door. So right now, as the four that I mentioned, the Valley Community Foundation, United Way, the Chamber, and the Health and Human Service Council, are going to be the four group membership that's going to start having the conversations of, okay, what's the best way to deploy these funds? And so as the money comes in, we start taking a look at the needs that are out there. That's why we wanted to make sure that the Chamber was at the table because of our small business community. And we wanted to make sure our Health and Human Service Council was there. Because, of course, all the needs that our nonprofits are dealing with right now in response to the COVID crisis. I can keep talking, but I think I'll let you ask the question.
No, I was giving you a second. No, that is a ton of good information. And now I see why all those organizations are involved. But in terms of how somebody can donate, like I know generally you click a link, you go to a website, you give your credit card information. Yeah. It's secure. Right. It's an established provider or vendor that is collecting these donations online, yeah, or at least processing them. And then you have the option to cover any credit card costs, which is always like a buck or two. But walk through me how someone can make a donation to this fund. And then I'm curious,
right,
in terms of how much it's collected thus far.
So the Community Foundation is going to be, or is, the fiscal, what we call the fiscal agent. This is not a permanent fund. The goal of this fund is to collect all these contributions and then get them out the door. So we're hoping a year from now, or do we hope a year from now, that the recovery portion of this is done and the funds will be completely expended. But because the fund is, or the Community Foundation is a fiscal agent, you can go to our website at valleyfoundation.org, and there's a button there to click. But also, all of our partners, the Valley United Way, hopefully the Chamber, and many of our nonprofits will have this on their website as well, and it all goes to the same location. So we were just talking about that. I was talking about that with the Valley United Way because we're all sending out appeal letters for people in our constituents to contribute to this fund. And we know there's overlap, but we sure hope our donors will have the patience to understand, you know, we just need to get this information out. So they can go to our website, just like you said, click the donate now and make their contribution to the fund. And the other alternative is to send in a check. Some people don't like to make online, donations. They can send a check into our office at the Valley Community Foundation at, 253A Elizabeth Street and, be able to make a contribution directly to us and have that go into the fund at the foundation.
And that you'd make your check out to the you'd make your check out to the Valley Community COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund? Is that who you write the check out to?
You know, I'm one for making everything short. So if they made the check out to VCF, Valley Community Foundation, and then in the memo line, just put COVID Response Fund, I'll know exactly what it's supposed to do.
Gotcha. Okay. And then in terms of making the
donation. We'll keep it really simple.
Yeah, I like that. In terms of the donation and the website being made online, there's no minimum, right? People can write in or whatever people can give is being accepted.
Absolutely.
I think, right? Okay.
Right, exactly. And that's why these response funds are great, because you have people that, like I said, you've got people who can say $25, but you also have corporations and companies. Prudential just made a wonderful gift of $25,000 to the fund.
Who did? I'm
we
sorry.
We have our donor advice fund.
Who made the 25?
Prudential.
Prudential, you said. Sorry, I didn't hear you there.
Prudential.
Okay.
Yep, Prudential. And then we have our donor advice fund holders. The Bassett Family Fund has made a substantial gift to this fund. Our board has made a substantial gift to the fund. So right now you had asked how much was in the fund. Right now we have about $115,000.
$115,000, you said.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, wonderful.
And so as we've said, this is a response and recovery fund. It's really hard right now because the recovery is probably going to be the most expensive part of this. That's when you really see what the damage is. Right now, there's a lot of response that's needed. And in our office, Valerie Knight DeGangi, who's our program director, she's been talking to all the nonprofits and finding out what their needs are right now, what their immediate needs are. We're going to have to see what their intermediate needs are going to be, because we have state and federal funding, as you well know, that's flowing through all of this. And some people need help until they get that funding. Others are going to get the funding, but then it's not going to be enough. So we have to continue to see exactly what the needs are. And then on the other side of as the curve starts going down, we're going to start into recovery, and that's going to be a longer process to get our nonprofits and our small businesses back up into, a good working order to be able to support the people of the Valley.
And then, Sharon, you said you had collected $115,000 so far. That is, of course, a wonderful start. And then in terms of when you may be awarding or giving out this money to the groups or organizations that need it, is there any timeline as to when the first grant? Can I call it a grant? Is that essentially the same, what it is?
Yeah, it would be a grant.
Okay.
The group of us are going to be on a conference call either tomorrow or Friday to discuss some of the information that Val has collected from our nonprofits to date, and to talk with Bill Purcell over at the Chamber to see what he's hearing from his small businesses. I think, when I just in my conversations so far with Val as well as with the nonprofits, this intermediate or immediate and intermediate time frame is some of our busiest people and the most affected people in this are the ones that need to get out there and fill out that application to the federal government to get the funding or to get out to the Small Business Administration, because that's where it's flowing through for that funding. And they don't have time to research that. They don't have time to look at that, because they're on the front line and they're needing to be able to respond to the pandemic, but at the same time, or their businesses, but at the same time, how do they get that application in? So I'm hearing a lot about that type of support. I'm hearing about staff members that are exhausted and could sure use a little bit of assistance. I hear about some of restaurants coming together saying, let's send over meals for the hospital workers, and let's get that together. And, those type of efforts are out there saying we've got these immediate needs, and it sounds strange, but it's just like you've got the immediate, then you've got that intermediate. But we need these nonprofits as well as small businesses to wade through all of the CARE Act to be able to say, what can I be applying for? What can I get at my disposal to help me at the other end of this? I don't know if you heard last week.
I was just going to ask, in terms of all that information that's coming out of the bureaucracies and these institutions on the state and federal level, where does one start to go to wade through that? You had mentioned that these nonprofits are working every day and they're dealing with things and trying to do what they have to do every day, and yet you sort of need a department to go through all the applications for assistance, I guess. Is there any help out there available to help some of these nonprofits do that type of stuff?
I'm gonna look it up as I'm talking to you so that I can get the exact address, because Connecticut has a really, their economic development group has really put together a clear website.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about DECD you're talking about?
Well, yes, but specifically if anybody goes to ct.gov/coronavirus, or if you go to ct.gov, on the top of it's going to then send you to the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
From there, they've got a lot of information. It's just like when you're trying to find out about the virus, you go to the CDC to find out about the virus and to find out what you're supposed to do. When you're talking about economic stimulus and what you can get from either the state or the federal, if you go to ct.gov coronavirus, you're going to be led to all these different, this different information, including guides for small businessmen or business owners to be able to know how to apply. Most of the stimulus package coming from the federal government is going to be working through the Small Business Administration, through then banks. So this site will give you all of that information, and they have a lot of frequently asked questions, which will really help a lot of people.
Help people, and I know there's a
you just don't know.
There's a dedicated phone line, from what I read. The it's at 860-500-2333. That is the hotline that was established, I think, a week ago by the Connecticut Department of Economic and Community Development there regarding COVID-19 Business Emergency Response Unit. I interrupted
and
you.
Go
ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's just that all of our state, our federal and state governments, they're all very, very obviously concerned about getting us back up and running again. And all of the companies are also wondering, okay, when can we open up again? When is our economy going to open up again? And I was on a webinar this morning, and many of these webinars, I think, are going to be probably posted on the website for the ct.gov. So you can hear the commissioner talking about, when do they think it's going to open up, and how are they going to open up? And right now, of course, it's all unknown until we know that we're on the other side of that infamous curve. Because the one thing we don't want to do is open things up too early and then have us have a relapse. That's one thing we really don't want to have.
And how is the Valley Community Foundation, you're based in Derby, on Elizabeth Street, but you must be practicing social distancing as well. How is that going for you logistically? Because I know, and then you're gearing up. I mean, the Great Give is a major fundraiser for all area nonprofits. Next month and still on. But how's the VCF making out in all this?
Well, it is. You know, we're a small staff, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's even harder, you know, because we're very spread out. and we're getting very good at Zoom meetings. We can even have a number of our board meeting calls, our committee calls, doing Zoom and everything else like that. Because we're so small, in our office, many people know Beth. Beth is actually in the office because she gets to be there all by herself. So
there you go.
She's there, and the rest of us are all in our different home offices working along.
Hi, Beth, if you're listening. Hello, Beth.
Spoil a lot of people.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
I think this is going to spoil a lot of people when they can start doing these Zoom meetings, just on their computers and everything else, instead of always having to drive someplace.
Yeah,
we'll see a real reduction in the traffic on 95 in the Merritt sometime.
It is a good point. And then, Sharon, while I have you, is there anything else you wanted to add about this fund to which people should donate immediately? Especially, like you said, there's so many people out there posting on Valley Indie Facebook, and I get mentions all the time. People just want to do something because there is that feeling of helplessness out there. And this is something you can do. It can be trusted. I donated myself a couple of bucks. I mean, you can't go wrong donating to this fund. But anything else you want to add about that? And then I just wanted to ask you about the census real quick. But anything else you wanted to add about the fund?
Yeah, I think you're, I really appreciate your statements there, because I think when it comes to a collective fund, there's so much more we can do when we have a collective fund, because we're able to make a $2,500 grant with all of those gifts of $25 or $10. And we can also make, $5,000, $10,000, $25,000 grants when the time comes for really understanding the impact that this has had on our community and our folks, and where we can make that and address that issue. So contributions to this fund are going to be ongoing for quite some time as we go into recovery. And I really hope that people will be thinking about it as far as their, companies and their matching gift programs, things like that. On another note, I can't say enough about having that great give right now, because, so many of our nonprofits had spring events. They had summer festivals planned. They had all these different things to raise their funds, and they've had to either cancel or postpone them. And so we're seeing a lot of nonprofits that they know they're taking a hit to their bottom line for general operating, and the great give gives them that opportunity to re-get some of that money right back in again. So I can't encourage people enough to also, one or the other or both of them, to try and do those things.
Because absolutely.
That really needs to help the nonprofits. Yeah.
Great. That's good stuff. Oh. And then in terms of, Sharon, the census, I know you have been involved in the Complete Count Committee that's operating in the Greater Valley. And today is April 1st, Census Day. Why
census
is it important?
Census Day.
From what I was on a conference.
What's so crazy is this census is going to have so many little asterisks by. It's going to be so funny. It is so important. Every 10 years, the United States is mandated that we do this census every 10 years to count, just to count people in your community. Who lives in Derby? Who lives over here? Who lives over there? And that data is used in so many different ways. We use it in our community index to, keep the demographics of what's the growth rate in our different communities, and even in our census tracts, because they break down our communities into almost neighborhoods, in a sense, who lives here, who lives there. And that's used to figure out everything from our school funding to our legislative count. How many people do we have representing us at the in the Congress? And, how much money comes out to our nonprofits, as well as our schools. And so, it's hard because you don't want people to be afraid of just filling out the census form. And you want them to just fill it out and know that it's just a count. It is not asking, are you a citizen or aren't you a citizen? do you, you know, how many people did you tell your landlord are in this apartment versus how many are really there? None of that information goes anywhere. It goes all to the Census Bureau just to get the count, just to get the count. And
they take an oath. I mean, the census workers, you know, I don't mean to step on you, I apologize, but the census workers themselves take an oath keeping this information secret, and they could actually be prosecuted if they were to leak it or anything like that. So they take it seriously.
That is correct. Yeah, very serious. But what's hard with this one is that, and you may know this, Eugene, we were, our group was counting on the libraries to be open so that people could go to the libraries to fill out their census information. Because now everybody has either received the census or they received an invitation to complete the census online, where all they have to do is plug in their number and then they're asked their 10 questions. And we were hoping that the libraries, the city hall, different organizations would have computers and terminals available for people to go in and do the census. So right now I know the census date is still April 1. So the data is, where were you on April 1? You know, but I think it's going to go on now into June, possibly July, as far as wanting to receive all this information, information guide. So, and everybody can call the census number, and I don't have that off the top of my head.
Oh, I do. Oh, wait, hold on.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
Now you're a great host. You are absolutely fantastic.
Well, I mean, I did it last night. You know, I had my little piece of paper with my ID number. You don't even necessarily need the ID number. You can still get it done. But if you go online, it's 2020census.gov. It's right there. It takes like 5 minutes. They say 10. It's even less. If you don't like doing it online, and we're all stuck at home online, so it's an easy way to do it. You should do it online. But then you can call 1-844-330-2020 1-844-330-2020 Phone lines are open every day from 7 a.m. until 2 a.m. So that is happening.
And in how many different languages?
Right. There's
so many different languages.
At valleyindy.org, I published the story last night. It's right now on the homepage, but you can also link, and there's like, I think there's 11 or 12 different languages that you can, numbers for each language. So yeah, it is hugely accessible. So
that's that.
So yeah.
And it's incredibly important, incredibly important.
And as Lieutenant Governor.
And right now we were able to go,
I was just saying, Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz pointed out yesterday that, you know, this also plays a big part in the formula to determine disaster aid, Medicare, and all the things that are going to be important going forward. And all those social services, as you mentioned, especially as presumably more and more people will need them because of what's happening with our economy right now. But go ahead.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for bringing that up. It's great.
All right. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Sharon, or shall we call it a day on this sort of, I told you 15 minutes, I lied. We're coming up on about 26, but anything else you wanted to touch upon?
It's always great talking to you. And I just wish and pray for everybody to be safe and healthy and to listen to the officials, because the more that we can social distance ourselves and do what they say to do, the faster we're going to go into the recovery of this disaster right now.
Well said.
I just wish everyone well.
All right, Sharon, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. As always, it is a pleasure.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives.